Welcome to church this morning. It's almost like cell group. So we've got awakened weekend in Sark of Munt, and I know a lot of the ladies is there, and some of the husbands went with, and some of the husbands stayed at home to watch the kids. Just welcome to church this morning. What we're going to do this morning, what I want to share on, is Psalm 50. Most of the time, I think what we like to do is we like to do topical sermons. Now, a topical sermon is where you choose a topic. Let's say, for instance, the topic is faith, and then you preach on that topic. And what you'll do is you'll use different scriptures from different places in the Bible, and you'll use some examples in the Bible of men of faith, for instance. The testimonies in there, that's a topical sermon. It's about a certain topic. But today what I want to do is I'm going to do an expository sermon. And all that basically is where you take a chapter and you read that chapter, and you basically just look at what is that piece of the word of God saying. So normally, I know most people prefer topical sermons, but I think it's also good sometimes to do an expository sermon where we just clearly look at the Word of God and we just say, okay, this is what it's saying to us. Like I said, a lot of times you'll use a chapter. Sometimes you'll see people doing a couple of weeks in a row, then they'll do like a book out of the Bible. But yeah, for this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 50. So you can open your Bibles there, those of you that got your Bibles with you. And Philip, you can come to the front, you can read it for us.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. O God shall come and shall not keep silent, and fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he might judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with my sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world is mine, and all the fullness. Will I eat the flesh of the bulls, or drink the blood of goats, offer to the God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High? Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or to take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you contested with him and have been partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. The things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this. You who have forget God, lest tear you in peace, and there is none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and into him who orders his conduct all right. I will show the salvation of God.
Thanks, Helen. Yeah, I think it's one of those psalms that a lot of times we look at it and we're almost afraid of what God is actually telling us. So what we do is we like to skip it, isn't it? Just something interesting about psalms. Growing up, I always thought that all the psalms were written by David. And it was only later on that I noticed, but it's actually it wasn't the case. You see, all the psalms were written over a period of about 1,000 years. It was written from the time of Moses, which was about 1,400 before Christ, up until the time of Ezra, about the 4th century before Christ. Now, David, there's 150 psalms, and David only wrote about 70 of those psalms. Something interesting was, like, this psalm was written by Asaph. Now, who he was is he was a Levite that King David assigned as a worship leader. So basically, we can say this was written by a worship leader. But also about the Psalms, some of them were written by Solomon. Asaph actually wrote about 12 of the Psalms. It was Psalm 50 and then also 73 to 83 is the Psalms that he wrote. And there's about... Moses only wrote one, Psalm 90. And then there's a couple of other names of people who wrote them, but there's about 45 of the Psalms who no one knows who the authors are of those Psalms. Just something interesting. Now, we can break this up. The overall theme, I think, of Psalm 50 is that God will bring judgment to the wicked, but also that he will bring mercy to the faithful. So there's basically two sides in this psalm if we look at it. And so if we break it up, we're going to start looking at the different verses. There's a couple of verses that I decided to, that's really powerful and really saying something that I think we need to notice. So that verses we will stand still. But some of them, we can just look basically at what they're saying. For instance, verses 1 to 4 basically introduce God as creator and as judge. If you look at the first four verses, what we can clearly see out of this psalm is that God is the creator, but also he is a judge. And then if we go to Psalm 50 verse 5, it says, "Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Now, yeah, I want to stand still for a while, because it says, "Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Now, who does God see as the faithful ones? Because a lot of times we think, okay, but I'm faithful or stuff like that. But who does God see as the faithful ones? And the answer is actually simply, it says here, it's behind the comma, it says, "who made a covenant with me." So if God look at us, the ones that's in covenant with him, is the ones that he see as faithful. And I think it's necessary to ask the question then, but what is a covenant? Is a covenant just an agreement between two people? Is it like a contract? And the thing is, a covenant is actually it's much more than just a contract. It's much more than just a normal agreement. It's actually something sacred, and a covenant is something where you can't turn your back on it. So you can't go back on what was decided. So it's when two parties come together and they agree to certain terms of how that relationship is going to work. And if we think about covenant, I think the best way to try and explain it is to look at marriage. Because that's what marriage is. It's a covenant. It's something sacred. Now, it's something that the world is trying or is busy to break down. Marriage, because they don't want it to be something sacred. They want it to be just something normal, just a contract. But if you think about it, if you get married and you stand in front of the altar, what's some of the words that we say to each other? "Still death do us part." You see, that's part of the agreement of that contract. That's part of the agreement of that covenant. is saying we're going into this, there's no turning back. Whether it's going to be good, whether it's going to be bad, we're not turning back. We're going through this. And this is the same thing with a covenant with God. You know, if God looks at us, it's almost like he's in a place where he's saying, but listen, guys, this is what I expect from you. And what you need to understand is God saying is that he will never go back on his word. So if he says he's with us, he's always with us. There's nothing that we can do that will make him turn his back on us. He'll always be there. And so that's basically a covenant. And we can ask the question, how do you make a covenant with God? Also then in verse 5 it says, who made a covenant with me? By sacrifice. A covenant is made by sacrifice. Now, like I said, in a covenant, there's two parties involved. But also what we can see in the scripture is that God is saying, but by sacrifice, we go into that place of covenant. And what is the sacrifice in this covenant that we've got with God? It's his son, Jesus. You see, what God did is he became man in the form of Jesus, and he died for us. That's how, from his side, how he established covenant with us. He bought our freedom with the blood of Jesus. But in the same way, if you think about where it says it's by sacrifice, there's some sacrifice on our side as well. Because a covenant, like I said, is agreement from two parties. One coming, like God coming and saying, okay, I give my son Jesus for you to buy your freedom so that you can be free, so that you can be delivered. But from the other side, it's me and you standing there. And he's asking from us the same thing. He's asking from us a sacrifice to become part of that covenant. And the sacrifice he's asking from us is our lives. So when he invites us into covenant with him, what he's actually asking is, will you give, I gave my life, the life of my son, will you give your life? That's the price of this covenant. And if we think about giving our lives, so what it actually means is that we come to a place where we say, okay, Lord, it's not about what's important to me. It's not about what I can get out of this or anything like that. But I come to you in this covenant. I'm giving up my life. Everything that's important to me, I'm willing to give that up. And if we, again, if we think about marriage, I almost want to say there's like certain perks, if I can call it that way, in marriage. If people are married, there's certain things that's privileges, if I may use that word, that people's got in the marriage that they're not supposed to have before the marriage. That's for the marriage. And I think a lot of times where we make a mistake is we look at relationship with God. We don't see it as covenant. We just look at this relationship with God where on the one side we're still enjoying the things of the world. But on the other side, we want to have this close relationship with God. And then whenever we're in trouble, we expect God just to come and to bail us out. But if we think about it, God doesn't understand a relationship like that. Because remember, for a relationship with us, he paid with his son. So if God is looking for a relationship with us, he's asking our everything. Because he's giving his everything. And I think the mistake we're making a lot of times is whenever, like I said, whenever we're in trouble, we try and think that God will just bail us out. And a lot of times he does. But there's a lot of the promises in the Word of God that's actually for those who's in covenant with God. And therefore, I think it's so important that we realize that when God look at us, when he's talking to us, when he's asking for relationship from us, he's calling us to a deep place of relationship, covenant. And that's a place, I know on the one side we can think, yes, but this is like hectic and it's deep and all that kind of stuff. But on the other side, for him, it's exactly the same. For him, he laid down the son of his son's life. So for him, it's not just something that's easygoing and we'll see where it goes or anything like that. It's a deep place of relationship. Yeah, also, you get different kinds of covenants, like baptism, for instance, is a water covenant, what it's called. But this kind of relationship with God is what it's called a blood covenant, because it was sealed with the blood of Jesus. In Abram, for with Abram, for instance, you can read it in Genesis 15. There's a place where God came to that place of making covenant with Abram. And if we go look at the scriptures, I just think it's kind of interesting to see what they did. Is Abram went out, and God told him to bring certain animals to him. And those animals were cut in half. There's the blood for the covenant. And they were put on the ground in a number 8. Because how they, in those days, how they made a contract or a covenant with people is the people stood from back to back in that number 8. And then they start walking till they come to the end where they're looking face to face to each other. And by doing that, that's how they established the covenant. But if you think about it, the blood of that animals that was sacrificed, it's with that blood the covenant was sealed. So that's the way God did the covenant with Abram. But with us, he did it through his son Jesus, through his blood. We can go to verses 6 to 13. In these verses, he explained to us that he is the creator and everything belongs to him. Now, it's actually in that verses, if you can remember when we just read it now, it's actually saying that everything belongs to him. He's saying that he doesn't owe us anything. He's actually saying that he don't need anything from us. Because everything is his. He created everything and everything belongs to him. And when I read it, I thought by myself, but okay, why is it like he really go into this and make sure that we understand that everything is his. He created everything. He doesn't need anything from us. Why? And the answer is simply in verse 14, which says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. I think a lot of times when we bring something to God, when we bring offers to God or sacrifices to God, the mistake we're making is we're thinking, okay, but if I bring this stuff to God, is it really going to change something? Is it going to change God, this stuff that I'm bringing to him? And what I think he wants us to realize in this verse is he's saying, no. This is not going to change anything on my side. If you bring me 100 cows or whatever you bring to me, it's already mine. And why he's telling us this is because a lot of times we think, but I'm doing this good thing, bringing this stuff to God. But I think what he wants us to realize is that bringing stuff to him is not going to change him. It's going to change you. And why is a sacrifice called a sacrifice? Because that's what it is. It's supposed to cost you something. You're supposed to feel it. If you bring something to God, it's supposed to be a challenge. That challenge is not going to change God. It's going to change you. It's going to change your heart. And that's what it's supposed to be. Because you see, a lot of times we look at our money or whatever, and then we've got this thing, okay, but if I bring 100,000 rand to the church today, yes, this is great, you know. Just think about what the church can do and what God can do with it. And God is saying, no, you don't understand. It's mine. That's already mine. If you bring 100,000 or 1 million rand, it's not going to change anything for me. But it's going to change you. Because it's a challenge for you, it's talking about what's going on in our hearts. And what I realize when I look at this, he's saying, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a place of where we are satisfied, where we can say, I'm satisfied where I'm at this stage. So if he's talking about sacrifice of thanksgiving, he's talking about what's going on in our hearts when we bring that sacrifice. And that's the thing he's looking for. It's our hearts. For him, it's not about the gift. It's not about what it's going to do for the church or the kingdom or anything like that. It's all about what's going on in our hearts. And that's the place where he's challenging us. Is that when we bring something to him, that he's looking at our hearts and he wants that to change. He wants us to be thankful when we bring that. And it carries on by saying, and perform your vows to the Most High. Perform your vows. Now, again, back to marriage, if the couple stand in the front and they've got all these vows they're sharing with each other. I will do this and I will do this. I'll never do that and I'll never do that. What God is saying here is perform your vows. You remember that things when you gave your life to me? There were certain vows that you had. You remember in your quiet time, you talk to me and you tell me, even in the songs, we say, Lord, we give our lives to you. We lay down our lives. And God is coming and saying, okay, perform your vows. That what you say you will do, do that. That's what it means to perform your vows. Verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. It's invitation from God to his faithful, to the ones in covenant with him. It's invitation from God coming to us, telling us whenever there is trouble, call on my name. This is part of the agreements of this covenant. It's whenever you are in trouble, call on my name. I will deliver you. It's a promise of breakthrough. And you shall glorify me. Why shall we glorify Christ? Because we will see him stepping in into our lives. Therefore, we will glorify him. Verse 16, but to the wicked. And that this is a place where we need to realize that there's two groups of people he's talking to in this psalm. On the one side, you've got the wicked. On the other side, you've got the faithful. And if we look at this psalm, like I said, there's a lot of times it's one of those psalms that you read it and you just want to move on. Because it's like it's all this judgment almost. We don't want that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to receive that. But what we can clearly say here, or see here, is that he's, on the one side, he's saying to the wicked. On the other side, he's saying to the faithful. So there's two groups of people. But may I say, only two groups of people. There's no middle way. There's those who he sees as the faithful, which is the ones that's in covenant with him. And there's the ones that's not in covenant with him. And a lot of times, I think we are satisfied with a place of where we walk in this middle way. Because we see people from the world, and may I say, a lot of times we judge people from the world for where they're at, for the things that they're doing. And we look at ourselves and think, but at least I still go to church. At least I still do this. Yes, and I'm doing this stuff and that stuff that's in the world, but at least I'm at a much better place than what I used to be. But if God is looking at us, if we look at the scripture, he's talking to two groups. He's talking to the wicked, and he's talking to the faithful, the ones in covenant. There's no middle group he's talking about. Because I think as humans, what we like to do is we create a middle group, thinking, okay, this is more or less where I'm at. I gave up certain areas of my life, and so I'm still getting there, but this area, and then, you know, God, we'll get to that. But what God is saying is, no. Covenant. This is not like when you date someone, because I think that's a lot of times that's what we think about relationship with God. We're dating someone, so we'll just see, you know, where it goes. We'll just see what will come out of this, what will happen. But God is saying, no, there's no dating. There's covenant. There's a place where you lay down your life, where you give your life, and I will receive you. And that's the place that God is calling us to. But to the wicked, what right have you to recite my statutes, to take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. That's quite rough. Because what God is saying here is he's saying, but you're walking around, you're using my scriptures. You know, those vows, those things that were said between us. You're using my word. And you cast my words behind you. Talking about statutes that take my covenant on your lips. And you see, the reason why he's doing this is actually telling us, but if you're not walking in covenant with me, if you're not in a place where you gave up everything for me, don't throw around my covenant. Don't throw around this my scriptures and my promises. Because I think a lot of times we're not walking in covenant with God. And when he doesn't come through it for us, then we get offended with God. And we make his word cheap. But the thing in the end of the day is we use his word from that place of covenant. And I know as people, it's difficult for us to even think about covenant, to think about giving everything. But that's what he's asking. And he's asking that because that's what he gave. He gave everything. Therefore, he's asking everything from us. Verses 17 to 22 describe basically what is going on in the lives of the wicked and then judgment for them in verse 22. And he says that no one will be able to deliver them. Because you see, in the end of the day, God is our deliverer. God is the one giving us breakthrough. God is the one that's making us free. God is the one bringing us salvation. No one else can do that. There's a lot of temporary things that we can find in this world. But God is the only thing permanent. He's the only one that was there from the beginning. He's the only one that will be there till the end. So God is the one bringing us salvation. In verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. But that beginning part, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. You know, it's only possible for us to offer thanksgiving if we are in a place where we are really satisfied. Because a lot of times we look at ourselves, we look at what we've got, we look at our circumstances, and we are not satisfied with that. If we're not satisfied with that, we can't bring offers of thanksgiving. And I think the problem a lot of times with us is we look at what we've got or don't have, we look at our circumstances, and we expect more. We feel that we, what's for din? Yeah, we feel we deserve more. We're supposed to have more. But everything we've got is mercy from God. Because everything belongs to him. So if God decides to give us some of what is his, may I say to look after it, to be a steward over it, it's through his mercy. We don't deserve that. But a lot of times we can't come to God with offers of thanksgiving because we come to God thinking, but I deserve more. I went through this. I went through that. So I deserve more. And we can't bring offers of thanksgiving. So the challenge, I think, in this, if I look at that verse, it challenged me because a lot of times there's certain things going on in my life where I feel I don't deserve this. You know, that prayers that we pray of, you know, God, what did I do to deserve this? You know, I'm trying my best. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And now this thing happened. Why? We need answers. Why? It's in a place of not being thankful, of not able to be thankful. And therefore, I think it's important for us to realize that whatever we've got is mercy from God. And we can't come to God from that place of saying, Lord, but you know, I deserve more than what I've got at this stage. Lord, I deserve breakthrough. Now, all of that is through his mercy. So basically, to sum up, if we look at Psalm 50, like I said, one of those psalms, a lot of times we don't like to read. Definitely two groups of people, not three, two groups of people, the wicked and those in covenant with him. For us to come to a place of walking in covenant with God, we need to realize it's going to cost us. It's not called sacrifice for nothing. Because there's certain things that we need to sacrifice to be able to walk in covenant with God. But to walk in covenant with God is not this place where we're just feeling, okay, but yes, this it's this risky thing from our part. There's two parties to this relationship, to this covenant relationship. Yes, you are one, but God is the other one. And God is calling us to a place of covenant because for us it's actually a safe place. It's a place where we can experience the fullness of God. And I think too often we expect the fullness of God without the willingness of walking in covenant with Him. So yeah, this morning, I really want to challenge you to the place of asking you, are you really walking in the covenant relationship with God or not? Because this kind of relationships that we've got on earth with people, where now we're friends, now we're getting together, we're talking about stuff, but you know, tomorrow you say something and I don't like what you're saying, so you know, this friendship is just gone, it's not there anymore. God doesn't understand relationships like that. Because the relationship that He wants from us, that He wants with us, is the relationship where we are willing to give everything, like He gave everything. So if we can just all stand up, and I just want to pray a prayer, and I want to ask you, if you're comfortable doing it, what I can see in the scripture is God is calling us to a place of covenant relationship with Him. And where you're standing, I'm just going to pray my prayer, but where you're standing, you can pray in your own words. And if you want to step into that kind of relationship with God, where it's not something superficial, it's not something where, let's see how it goes, but where it's something where you say, Lord, I give you my everything like you gave me your everything. Then just where you're standing, you can just pray that to God in your own words. Let's close our eyes. Oh, thank you, Father, Lord, that we can call you Father. But thank you, Father, that we can know, Lord, that when you look at us, you were willing, Father, to give up everything for us. To give your Son, Jesus, to become human and to be sacrificed for us. Because you want a relationship with us. Because you love us. But also what we know, Father, is that you're requiring the same from us. You're requiring from us, Father, to be willing to give up everything as well. To lay down our lives so that you can come and live through us. So, Father, this morning we just come to you. And, Father, we realize, Lord, that when we're on this journey with you, none of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. But, Father, you won't turn your back on us. You're just calling us to that place of deep relationship. So, Father, this morning I just come to you, Lord. And just again, Lord, I just lay down my life. I just give my life to you. And I want to ask you, Father, to come and live through me. So, Father, what's important for you, that it will be important to me. What's on your heart, that it will be on my heart as well. Father, thank you that we realize that we are not in this relationship because of what we can get out of you or out of this relationship. But we're stepping into this place because we love you and because we want to glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, thanks, guys. If there's anyone that needs prayer for anything, you can come to the front. Otherwise, there's coffee and tea in the back. Enjoy your Sunday. Thank you.